And now on Nights with Steve Price, it's time for Health Matters. Thanks to Sydney Adventist Hospital. Healthcare, education, research, yours for life.
Well, an estimated 30% of parents say their children suffer from poor sleep, affecting everything from their behaviour to speech, learning capacity and personality. One way to diagnose sleep issues is via an assessment at a specialised sleep laboratory. Now, Dr. Hugh Allen is a paediatric sleep specialist at the Sydney Adventist Hospital, and he'll be joining other specialists to talk about the issues affecting kids at a free health forum at the SAN on July 25. Dr. Allen joins us right now. How are you, Hugh?
I'm well, thank you very much. How are you?
I'm good. Well, this is a fairly important issue on a range of levels. So I guess before we sort of have parents panicking about sleep, what is normal sleep patterns for a baby?
Well, there's two parts to that. The first is that the child or adolescent needs to be refreshed and ready to function during the day. So it comes back to looking at what their quality of life really is like. That's both for the family and also the babies and children and adolescents.
Because it's interesting, you can have, say, twins or even two kids relatively close together in age, and the parents will tell you, look, this one was fantastic, slept like a baby, pardon the pun, whereas the other one was a terrible sleeper.
Yeah, you can. Yeah, even the nicest people can have babies that are difficult. And I think one of the important things is that there's a huge variability in what normal is. And it depends on what they function like during the day. Most parents still at the age of 6 months are still getting up to feed and settle their babies. And at the other end of the paediatric spectrum with adolescents, you have adolescents who are true night owls and don't like going to bed and therefore have real problems functioning the next morning and getting to school. And funnily enough, school starts at 8 o'clock in the morning.
When we talk about that wonderful time, most parents think it's a wonderful time, where the baby actually sleeps through the night, is there a typical way of knowing when that should happen, and is it weight-related or age-related?
It is both age and age-related, and there are some babies who just do not sleep during the night. And obviously what we need to do is try and get parents to have really good routines with their children and babies so that they get used to having what they know is the sleep time, both during the day and during the night. So that we, having that routine, which is sometimes more difficult for some parents than others, is actually really important. And then if it doesn't work, and the routine doesn't work, or they've got signs or suggestions that they do have sleep disordered breathing, then that would be the indication to kind of look and investigate that further. And there's some parents who are very good at coping well on very little sleep, and other parents have great difficulty coping on a lot of sleep. So it not only depends on the child, it also depends on the family's coping strategy.
Yeah, well, that's true. I think that's true for all of us, certainly. If you work in a 24-hour business like, well, the hospital where you work or we do, you know that some people cope with weird hours and not much sleep really well, and others don't.
Yeah, and there are true night owls and there are true early birds. And that has been described, in many bird species as well, like magpies, where the early bird wakes up and eats early and goes to sleep early, and likewise. And that happens in quite a lot of families where you have a person who functions much better in the morning than the evening.
Yeah.
Happens in my family.
Well, tell me, at what stage or why do you have that sort of need for a paediatric sleep specialist to get involved?
Right. Well, the problems with children's sleep can either be behavioural, or it can be because there is evidence of what's called sleep disordered breathing. For example, children who snore, and one must remember that snoring is not like granddad. Mm. Snoring is really just noisy breathing. And if you snore and you wake up frequently, then you may have sleep disordered breathing, or you find that they're sweating at night, or they're restless in sleep, or they've slept for a long time and they still wake completely unrefreshed, then you've got to ask the question about, is there a problem not only with the sleep quantity, the time that you're sleeping, but also the sleep quality? If there's a problem with the sleep, if there's a problem with either of those things, they may need further investigation, not always a sleep study, but sometimes a sleep study to define both that there is a problem and the severity of that problem.
So we talk about little babies, and we've also you've alluded a couple of times to adolescents. So let's just focus on that for just a moment. How susceptible are teenagers to sleep disorders?
Well, we've been described as the most sleep deprived generation in all human history, and so adolescents often have problems because they like their machines and they want to use their machines leading up to bedtime, as do adults, and this disrupts their normal sleep pattern. And so there are ways of having extremely good sleep hygiene, which not only has been shown to improve the children's mental health, but it's also been shown to improve their performance both at school and outside school.
So when you decide, okay, we need to assess someone's sleep, what does that involve and what are you monitoring?
What we do is we take a history, and so you take a history of what their sleeping patterns are like, what their history of sleeping pattern is like. You're asking for signs like noisy breathing, and you're asking for how often they wake up, and also what their daytime pattern is like, so whether they fall asleep doing stuff, and with little people, what the routine is for them to go to bed. And babies are like us. We need a good routine to be able to go to bed, and we pattern that on our behaviour, that helps our biological clock, which turns on and off our sleep patterning, which is a bit like a steamroller. So you gradually roll into sleep. You don't go suddenly from wakefulness into sleeping.
So, okay, how do you solve the issues? You can identify the issues. How do you bring about change?
You bring about change by putting parents in control, allowing the adolescents to take some degree of control and responsibility for their things. And if we are not winning behaviourally, then you have to turn around and say, okay, we're not winning behaviourally. Why are we not winning? Is it because there's resistance on from one party or both? Is it because it's not really happening? Or is there some other primary sleep problem? And likewise in babies, no one likes to hear their baby cry. And so what is our response to that? How do we do that? Is there a right way of moderating their behaviour? And there are gentle ways and non-gentle ways that people have done that over history. And we always say that, often it's a combination of both things. So that the child may have sleep disordered breathing, but he also may have a behavioural pattern that is set up because of that. But up to the age of the first 3 months, most babies kind of settle into a pattern, but those that don't often need to be assessed to define whether there is a medical problem that needs to be treated, like is there upper airway obstruction, is there rhinitis, is there reflux, is there some problem that is causing them to suddenly wake up and therefore disturbing the development of their own maturing sleep pattern.
Dr. Hugh Allen, thank you for your time. Appreciate it.
Has that been helpful?
Yeah, that's been very helpful. Now, if you want to register, by the way, for the SANS free public forum on kids' health, go to sah.org.au.